And now, Jim, come on up. I told Jim I wanted to pray for him before he preaches today. I'm very thankful to have Jim around. And sorry I moved that for you. There's everything. But we're thankful to have him, and I'm looking forward to hearing him. I've been excited about this series, Union with Christ. I want that to be something that rolls off of all of our tongues by February, and I think it will. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for Jim. Thank you for the way you are using him in this church, in the world, for the gifts you've given him. And I pray that we will hear your words through him this morning. It's in your name. Amen.
You, Jared. This is the proper spot right here. Just saying. No, I'm just kidding. Jared knows I'm kind of type A. But I do realize that if all the elders stand up and walk out, I'll know something's up, right? So, yes. Last week I got to preach, and I get to preach again today, and then I get to preach the next 2 weeks. And like I said last week, it's something that I'm so very excited, this topic. And the topic is union with Christ. And if you weren't here last week, maybe you were gone or whatnot, you can listen to last week's sermon. You can do that online. You can do it through the app. Go on, you know, your Apple store, type in Bismarck Community Church. You can access that there. You can watch a video, or you can stream it. Do whatever you need to, because last week was just really vitally important. But I'll bring you up to speed if you don't know what union with Christ is. I have this nice little diagram right here of what union with Christ is. So if I could bring that up, the diagram, it's kind of this idea. The next one, the diagram, right there, is that somehow as followers of Jesus, if you claim to follow Jesus, when we look at Scripture, there's places where it seems that you are both in Christ and that Christ is in you. We looked at Galatians 2, we looked at 2 Corinthians 5, and we see these ideas where I am both in Christ and then Christ is in me. And it's a very weird thing to try and wrap our minds around, but it's something that we should try to wrap our minds around. And this whole idea, this whole concept is called union with Christ. And so that's kind of, last week I kind of like laid the framework, the foundation of what union with Christ is. And just even to give you an understanding of what it means, when it says that I am in Christ as a follower of Jesus, it's kind of like being a fan of a sports team. Like, I'm a Denver Broncos fan. And so I feel like sometimes like I'm part of the Denver Broncos team. And so when it says I am in Christ, it's this idea that I am a part of something bigger than myself. And being a part of Christ is way more important than being a Broncos fan. And it's way more important than being an NDSU fan, though it's fun to follow both those things. But being in Christ is this kind of this corporate head. So whenever you see this, I am in Christ, it's this idea of being a part of something bigger. And then the idea that Christ is in me, when you become a follower of Jesus, there's something that happens where God the Father, the Holy Spirit, resides in you, directing you. Saying, like, do working in your life. And so that when you see those two phrases, that's kind of what that means. And the way we hold that together is this idea of union with Christ. And that's where I'm going to kind of go today. And like last week, I talked about how this idea radically changed my life and how I viewed who I was and my identity. That when I explored union with Christ, this idea that everything I do, I'm both in Christ and Christ is in me, it changed everything. And I shared a lot of just kind of my story. And that's what union with Christ will do. It will help you understand who you are, what your identity is. Today, I'm going to talk about how union with Christ shapes our direction. Like, where are we going? What are you doing with your life? No matter where you're at in life. This isn't just a question that high school seniors ask, like, what am I going to do for college or for my life? This is a question, what am I doing with my life? What direction am I going? This is a question that young people, need to be asking. This is a question that people that have gone off to college need to be asking. This is a question that adults with kids or without kids need to be asking. Like, where am I going with my life? This is a question that retired people need to be asking. Like, what is the purpose of it all? Next week, I will be talking about purpose and how union with Christ shapes our purposes, what we are here for. And my final week, I'll be talking about how union with Christ shapes our hope. Like, what can we even hope for because we know that we have union with Christ, that we are both in Christ and that Christ is in us. So that's a little recap of what union with Christ is. My wife told me not to be apologetic, but I'm just going to apologize. My whole theme for today, it's about trees, all right? All right? You know, like a tree. And everybody knows a tree, right? Right? If we don't have trees, we die because trees produce oxygen. And if we don't breathe oxygen, we die, right? Okay, so everybody knows trees. So we all like trees, hopefully. If you don't like a tree or plants, come find me and we'll have a good argument. Anywho, but my theme for today, it's going to be a lot about trees. Here's a picture of my favorite tree in Bismarck. Okay, it's a little dark, but you may know where this tree is. It's on the south side of Bismarck. And this was one of the first things I remember about coming to Bismarck, I think in 2011, maybe 2010, when I was dating my now wife, Chantel. I remember coming to Bismarck, and I remember seeing this tree, and I remember thinking, you might not be able to see it here, but this tree is in the middle of the road, all right? It's on the south side of Bismarck. It's in the middle of the road. They literally built a road around this tree. I don't know the history of this tree. Maybe you're like, the reason they built the road around this tree is for this reason or whatnot. I have no idea. But I think it's fascinating that instead of tearing the tree down, they built a road around it. And for some reason, ever since 2010, 2011, when I came to Bismarck for the first time, I've been fascinated by this tree. I even named it the Keebler Elf tree. So if you ever need a cool tree to go look at, go on the south side and you can check it out. But I'm just fascinated by trees. Growing up, I love trees. When I was in high school, that the Lord of the Rings, they came out with the new trilogy. And there were these creatures, they were called Ents, E-N-T-S, and they were tree-like creatures. And they had been around forever. It's like kind of like, these characters in the story. And for some reason, I was fascinated with them. And the cool thing about the Ents is they were very old and they were very wise. Most recently, one of my movies that I absolutely love is Guardians of the Galaxy. And there's this character that's part of the team of the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's Groot. You know, and Groot, he doesn't say much. He only says, "I am Groot." And, you know, but for some reason, he is my favorite character of Guardians of the Galaxy. And he doesn't say much, but there's something with me that I just, I'm just fascinated by trees. And I was trying to think, you know, Jim, why do trees matter to you? I mean, yes, they provide oxygen, you know, but why do trees matter, you know, whatnot? You might even see it behind me on the walls. There's trees up on the walls back here. And yes, it matters, but I'll explain that a little bit. But when I was younger, my dad, I mentioned last week a little bit of my story. My parents divorced when I was really young. My dad lived in South Dakota. My mom lived in Colorado. Spent like my school like days in Colorado, and then we'd go visit my dad in the summers and winter break. And so I spent a lot of time in South Dakota on my dad's farm, and my dad had this plot of land that we had to clear to build his house on. And then when he built his house, growing up, I remember going there during the summer for like 4 or 5 years, and my dad would wake me up or he'd bring me outside, and he would have bundles of little like sticks, and we would plant these little sticks all around his house. And he's saying, you know, one day these will be trees. And we planted probably thousands of these little shrubs. And I just remember being like, I hate this. It's so much work. I got blisters on my hands. You know, I was a city boy, like getting blisters on the hands, you know, digging, putting all these trees down. And I, as I was thinking, I was like, I think maybe part of me really, like, I look back on it, and I'm glad for that experience of planting over 1,000 trees at my dad's, like, the little shrubs. And I was thinking about that. And now, as an adult, you know, going back to my dad's house, and he has all of these trees that kind of protect his house from wind and stuff in the Midwest. Like, when I was a little kid, I couldn't see ahead into the future of what the trees would become. My dad did, but I couldn't. And in the instant of having to plant those trees, I hated it. But now, as I go back to my dad's acreage, and there's trees that protect us, you know, from wind or the harsh elements, I'm like, oh. So I think part of me doing all that tree planting, you know, I think part of me kind of came to love this fascination with trees. And I don't know about you, parents or whatnot, but there's always been a time in our life where our parents might encourage or tell us something that in the moment we're like, no, you're stupid, you know, or no, that's not right. Like, I'm the kid, I know what's the best for me, you know, planting trees, Dad, that's dumb, you know. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, Dad, that is awesome. Thank you for all these trees. But we've all experienced that in some capacity where we can look back and we can maybe see some advice that somebody gave us and been like, oh, if I would have only known that sooner, or if somebody would have told me, or I'm so thankful for my parents that went before me and tried to encourage me to live in a way. And we all know, you know, experiences like that in our own lives. And so today, this theme of trees is something that I saw as I was engaging our text, as I was trying to look at this theme for union with Christ. What does it mean to be both in Christ and Christ in me? And today, with this idea of how does union with Christ shape the direction of my life? Like, where am I going? What am I going to do with my life? And I'll connect it back to this theme of trees, but I think when it comes to direction, like where we're going, where we're headed with our life, how does union with Christ shape or change that? What we have to do, I think, is three things. First, I think we need to situate ourselves in the present moment. Where am I right now? Like, where are you? It is January 13th, 2019. I am sitting here in this building, Bismarck Community Church. We need to situate ourselves with where we're at. When it comes to direction, we need to look back to where we've come from. But then we need to look forward to where we're going. We need to look back for where we've come from and look forward to where we're going. And so I think a way to do that is we're going to look at our text today, where we will situate ourselves in John 15. We're going to look back to the creation story found in Genesis. We're going to look ahead to restoration found in Revelation that hasn't happened yet. And then we're going to allow it to shape our lives. So if you would, open your Bibles to John 15. If you got a hard copy, open it, bring them. If you got it on your phone, open up your phones, click them open, Bible app, really neat, nice, easy way to read. But open up to John 15, and as you're turning there, or as you're opening your Bible, it will also be up on the screen, and you can follow along there as well. But I'm going to read from the Gospel of John. And today, even with my crazy theme of trees, I want you to take into account this metaphor that Jesus uses of being the vine. and that we're the branches. And as we humbly come to our word, I'll stress this as well, that this is God's word to us. We read it. It's alive. It's active. This is God's word to us. We believe that it is inspired by God. And as we read it, it speaks to us. Those who are in Christ, as we read this, it speaks to us. And so I'm going to read this out loud. Follow along with me. But here, we are going to situate ourselves as followers of Jesus in what it means to have union with Christ. And when we situate ourselves, then we'll be able to look back where we've come from. We'll be able to look forward to where we're going. So if you would, follow along. I'll read out loud, starting in verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 1 of John. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And if you're wondering where he's when this is happening, this is right before he's going to the cross to die. It's called, this portion of Scripture is called the farewell discourse, or part of that. But this is what he says, Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Verse 12, hang in there with me. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask for the Father in my name, you may give it to me. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. 17 verses right there, found in John 15. And when we're talking about union with Christ, that's what my whole series, our whole series for these 4 weeks is on union with Christ. And you may have seen a word in there that says abide. That is union with Christ. Abiding is that you are in Christ, Christ is in you, you're connected to the vine, and you are abiding in the vine. I'm going to do something, again, we just read 17 verses out loud. And it takes a while sometimes to do large chunks, right, Jared? You know, we read large chunks because I want you to get a lot out of this. But I'm going to read these 17 verses again. Hold on. I just saw somebody's eyes go, oh my goodness. Oh, you're going to read those again? But I want you to read them again because sometimes we can read a verse and we can just be like, oh, Jim did the verse. We're done. We're good. Jim talked about abide, whatever. Okay, but I'm going to read this again. And what I need you to do, the young, the old, everybody in between, what I need you to do is count how many times the author uses the word abide. all right? Count it, all right? And when you see the word abide, if you're a younger person, you know, you're by your parent or whatnot, just tap your parent on the knee so they know that you, and if you're an older person and you just want to touch somebody on the knee, you know, make sure you have their permission, but just tap them so that, because as we read this text, I'm pointing this out because it's so vitally important to this whole theme of union with Christ. So we're going to read it again, all right? So count, all right? Tap the person next to you, but really try and engage the text in a way so that you're seeing that the author really wants us to situate ourselves in this theme of abiding, all right? One more time, here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Man, I always read that and I'm like, man, that seems harsh. If, verse 7, you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that somebody lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. Jesus is saying this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. I just saw somebody tap somebody. That's cool. Okay. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. How many times did the word abide pop up? Who's got it? We hear 11, all right? Did anybody have something different than 11? How many? 13, 11, a lot of times, right? If you read 17 verses in the Bible and it pops up 11, 12, 13 times, this is vitally, the author's trying to get at something here, all right? So we're going to look at that, what it means to abide, what it means to have union with Christ. Before we do that, if you would, let's just pray for God to speak to us as, God, come before you. There's something here in your word to us, it speaks to us. You speak to us, this is your word. And here where it says abide, help us know what that might mean for us in our lives, for those who claim to follow you with our life, what it means to abide with you. Help us understand or explore this metaphor of being the vine and the branches, and help us know that you are the vine, and you chose us. So we offer this time to you. Amen. All right, so we've situated ourselves. Remember, if we want to know where we're going, we need to situate ourselves here in this moment. So as followers of Jesus, we're situating ourselves in John 15. But now we need to look back to where we've come from, and then we're going to look forward to where we're going. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Genesis. And when I first was looking at Genesis, I told Pastor Jared, I was like, Pastor Jared, like this, the creation account is so vitally important. I want to read the first three chapters, like all of it. And Jared's like, okay, Jim, if you're going to read all of John 15 twice, he didn't even know I was going to read it twice, but he said, if you're going to read that whole chapter, if you're going to try and read all of the three chapters of Genesis, you probably shouldn't. So I'm just going to, what I'm going to say is that we're not going to read all the first three chapters of Genesis, the creation account, but what I am going to do is challenge you guys. Again, I'm prepping you for what I'm going to challenge you on. Go home and read this on your own. Don't just take Jim's word for it. Don't just take Jim's word that, hey, it says to abide or to have union with Christ. Go home and read this Genesis account. Go home, read the John 15 account. Go home and read, we're going to look at Revelation. Go home and read it for yourself. And if you've never read the Bible from beginning to end, this is the year to do it. I'm challenging everybody to read the Bible. If you're like, hey, I've already read the Bible in my lifetime, guess what? Do it again. If you're like, hey, I've already read it twice, do it again. Because we believe that this is God's word to us. We don't have it figured out. And so we're always reading it because God's speaking to us through it. And even for me, this last week, I read a story in Scripture that I completely forgot about. It was a story about Naaman. It was just this random story. I totally forgot about it. But I read, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's in the Bible. I was reading this morning, preparing for the sermon this morning, and in Psalm 51, there was something that came, like when as I was reading it, I had never seen before. And it was all about thy salvation, God's salvation. Like, I'd always thought salvation was all about me, but this morning, even in Psalm 51, I read something new that, hey, I had already read it 50 times before, but this morning, something new God spoke to me through. So, challenging, always read. So, if you're in Genesis, we're going to be in Genesis 3. I'm just going to point out one verse, and you're trying to probably figure out, okay, Jim's all over the place today, but where does this tree theme or idea, where is it coming from? You know, Jim, would you just want to talk about trees? And I'm like, no, I didn't just want to talk about trees. But if you look in Genesis 3, all right, or in Genesis 2, in verse 17, this is within our creation account, you know. In 17, it says this. Can you bring that up on the screen? All right, it says this. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. This is God talking to Adam. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so in our creation account, we have this image or this idea of a tree that Adam and Eve aren't supposed to eat. And so at the very beginning of our story, you see our story always on our panels behind our wall. We have a creation account with the tree, all right? God says, hey, I'm putting you in this garden, don't eat of it. We see that in Genesis 2:17, all right? We see a tree. Okay, now go to the very last book of your Bible, Revelation, all right? We're going to be in the very last chapter, chapter 22, and we're going to look at 1 and 2. All right, so as you're turning there, it will also be up on the screen. But as we've looked back, we see a tree. As we're looking forward, guess what? We're going to see a tree, all right? Who guessed that, you know, right? Okay, so 22, verses 1 through 2. It's up on the screen, or follow along in your Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So in Revelation, that's the end of the story. and we haven't reached that end. We put our hope as followers of Jesus that one day Jesus will return and the account of Revelation is true. But at the end of our story, we see a tree. At the beginning of the story, we see a tree. At the end of the story, we see a tree. We are situated in something, John 15, where it's talking about we are the vine and the branches, or Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. We see a tree. And so there really is this metaphor of tree that plays through all of this. And as we looked at our John 15 account, we saw multiple times, as we're situating ourselves, we see multiple times this idea of abiding in Christ, abiding as a branch abides in the vine. And the word here, the Greek word here, is meno, all right? Kind of like minnow, but meno, all right? So let's all say meno together. All right, let's try it again. Meno, ready? One, two, three. All right, if you were here last week, you knew three Greek words. If you were here today and last week, you now know four Greek words. And meno, it means to abide. It means to stay in. It means to remain in. So those who are in Christ, who have situated themselves in Christ, and Christ is in them, they are challenged to abide, to remain in Christ, to having union with Christ. And that word is meno. And you may be wondering, you know, Jim, you're talking about situating yourself, you know, in the text of John 15, looking back to the creation story, then looking forward to our consummation or restoration. We're situating ourselves. You may wonder, you know, how do I situate myself in the story? And if you were here last week, I talked about how the starting point of our union with Christ is responding to the saving acts of God. We are responding in faith to the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to do something. But we can only do something because God has initiated something for us to respond to. And you may be wondering, okay, I'm situating myself and the starting point is the gospel. What is the gospel message? What is the gospel message of Jesus? Our third panel here, you see there's a little cross in the middle of the tree. I think it's fascinating too that Jesus, he was crucified on a cross made out of a tree. But Jesus, God, human, lived a perfect life, but he died on a cross for the sins of humanity. And anybody who puts their trust and faith in him has eternal life. And he didn't just die on the cross for the sins of humanity, but he was buried, defeated death, came back to life. After he came back to life, he then revealed himself to a bunch of people. We have accounts of him revealing himself to a bunch of people, and then he ascended and is at the right hand of God the Father. And according to what we see in Scripture, that those who place their trust and their faith and their hope in that gospel message are in Christ, and Christ is in them. And you know if you're in Christ or Christ is in you. You know that. And so the starting point is always the gospel message. That is how we situate ourselves in this moment, is through the gospel message. And now you might be wondering, okay, so what am I going to do now? When it comes to direction and the direction of our lives, where are we going? You know, we look at the story behind us on the panels. For those who claim Jesus, we are looking to one day when Jesus will return. And if you read in Revelation 22, where he's going to wipe, 21 and 22, he's going to wipe away every tear. There's going to be a death to death. So when we see suffering now, there won't be suffering later. But our direction is no longer about us, but it's about Jesus. And so for those who are in Christ, our direction, where we're going, what am I going to do with my life? It's all about Jesus. I know that's the cliche answer to all the questions, like, you know, you when you're asking somebody and they just say Jesus, but it literally is Jesus. It's all about Jesus, our direction, what we need to be doing, everything. It's all about Jesus, that one day Jesus will return. And you might be wondering, well, Jim, I'm still experiencing, you know, some of the effects of the fall in my own life. What's hindering me is sin, and I shared this with Pastor Jared this morning from a book that Pastor Jared and some of the elders and I read, and it's this, that sin, you want to know what sin is? Sin is abiding in something other than Jesus to give us significance and joy. Sin is constructing an identity around anything other than God. Sin is that which defaces the image of God in us and keeps us from flourishing. In our story, we have the creation, we have the one day hope that we're looking forward to. We see this panel right here, the fall, where sin defaces, messes up what God intended for humanity. And humanity has been trying, you know, maybe we'll do something. But if we see Jesus' death on the cross giving us a way back to God, so we are to become more like Jesus. That is our direction. Why are we here? To be like Christ. I came across this little reading this week in my common prayer book, and it was perfect for this week with my theme of trees. And it talked about a guy named Brother Lawrence. All right, some of you may have known him. Not known him. If you knew him, he's from the 16th century. So, but you may have heard of him. Yeah, be like, I know Brother Lawrence. He's cool. Okay, anyhow. But he was in 16th century. But his name was Nicholas Herman, and he's from Lorraine, France. And Brother Lawrence received little formal education. And as a young man, he served briefly in the army. And one day, he had an experience that set the course of his life in a new direction. This is what set his new direction. Gazing at a barren tree in winter, Lawrence saw for the first time the majesty of God's grace and the constancy of God's providence. He imagined himself like the tree, waiting for the life that God would inevitably bring in season. Shortly after this experience, he became a lay brother in the Carmelite monastery in Paris. There he worked in the kitchen, and in the repetition of his daily chores found a way to integrate spirituality and work, which he called the practice of the presence of God, abiding, union with Christ. By learning to perform his daily mundane tasks for the sake of God, Brother Lawrence turned every moment into an opportunity for prayer. Every moment for an opportunity with prayer. Brother Lawrence wrote this. This is fascinating. Men invent means and methods of coming at God's love. They learn rules and set up devices to remind them of that love. And it seems like a world of trouble to bring oneself into the consciousness of God's presence. Yet, it might be so simple. Is it not quicker and easier just to do our common business wholly for the love of Him? So, today, I've talked about this idea of we're situating ourselves. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're situating yourselves. You're situating yourselves in John 15, this idea and theme of abiding. So no matter what you do, you are abiding in Christ, and Christ is in you. Brother Lawrence, he called it the practicing the presence of God. We call it union with Christ, or abiding in Christ. But I think it was fascinating just seeing for Brother Lawrence kind of like what his conversion experience was looking at a tree that was barren, you know? Maybe you feel like that tree, or maybe you're looking, you know, maybe you're at a point like he was. Yesterday, the tree at the beginning of my sermon you saw down on the south side, I had to run by that, and I took a picture of it. But before that, I ran by, don't bring this up yet, but I ran by another of my favorite tree places here in Bismarck. And before I show you this picture and kind of give you a little backstory to it, my buddy Zach, he's one of the elders, he's up here, Zach, Jeff, and I think Troy was with us, but we do these things. Zach preached a couple weeks ago, and we do these things where we explore North Dakota. And we were in one of these towns where there was an abandoned church, and it wasn't functioning. It was just an abandoned church, and we were exploring it. Zach takes pictures. I like to be looking at stuff. And at this one church, Zach, I don't know what the name of the town was or what the church was called, but we were looking at stuff, and there was like stuff like in drawers and whatnot. And I went to this one drawer. I remember opening it, and right away I saw a little like pamphlet. It said free. Take one. I was like, oh, interesting. So I looked in this box, and it was a little piece of paper. It kind of looked like this. It was a little pamphlet. And stapled to it were some seeds. I was like, oh, free, take it, you know. I should take it, right? And so I just remember looking at it, and I was looking at it, I was like, oh, these are tree seeds. And I started reading the pamphlet, and it was an initiative in 1989 that North Dakota was trying to plant 1 million or something trees in North Dakota in that year. It was just like this initiative. And I stumbled across this 29 years later, and the seeds were still in the little plastic thing that was stapled to the pamphlet. And for me, I don't know anything about gardening or stuff or farming, Doug. I have no idea anything about farming. And so my thought is, how awesome would it be if I took these 29-year-old seeds, bring them to Bismarck, and I'll plant them? All right? Let's do that, right? Zach, do you remember that? Oh, he's back there. Do you remember that? I found the seeds? What? In Cooley, North Dakota. So I had these seeds from Cooley, North Dakota. I took them home. Chantel and I, we had our first garden, so I was on this big gardening kick. So I took the two, there's actually six seeds in it. I put three in each styrofoam cup. And I put them in there. I looked on Google, like, how do you plant tree seeds? And I watered those. I made sure they got the right amount of sun. And Chantel, all along, she's like, Jim, it's not going to work. And I'm like, no, it's going to work. Just, I have faith. I trust that this is going to work. And April, you know, we went through April. And then May rolled around. And June rolled around. And nothing was popping up. And I'm like, it's going to work. And then all of a sudden, like, all of these weeds started growing. And no tree popped up. And you're like, oh, Jim, that's so sad. It was very sad because I eventually threw it away. It was just a bunch of weeds. And then I later found out on Google that tree seeds last maybe 2 years, not 29 or 30 years. Maybe you knew that and you knew all along that these seeds weren't going to grow. But I had faith. But, it, you know, whatever. Anywho, the reason I say this, is there was an opportunity for somebody, free seeds, to plant trees, and if they would have planted them, they would have been flourishing trees now, okay? You know me, I like to run, I'm running everywhere. On the southwest side of the Capitol building, there is this plaque. All right, you might not be able to see it, but it says the Centennial Grove. Go check it out for yourself. And underneath it, it says 1989, the 100-year anniversary of North Dakota, not Bismarck, but of North Dakota. George Senior Bush planted some trees. And the grove there are the trees that have grown up over the last 30 years. You see them. They're deep. Somebody planted them. You know, and what I think is even more like meaningful is, you know, whatever your politics stance or whatever, governmental stance, whatever, George Bush, former president, this last year he passed away, but there is something that is going beyond him, and it's these trees. Somebody took the seeds, put them in the ground, and you have trees, right? You see them. Go look at them. And I bring this story to light because I think sometimes we can come on a Sunday and you hear Jim, even if I speak the most eloquent of words, you go home and you've maybe forgotten what I've said, or you forget what Jared's saying or whatnot, I don't know. But my question for you right now, think of seeds. Seeds for you. Seeds that may need to be planted in your own life because you're in Christ, Christ is in you. What are some things that you might need? But what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Not only is what God's saying to you, but how are you going to respond of what God is saying to you? And we can only respond because God allows us to respond. But how are you going to respond based on what God is saying to you today? And with this theme of union with Christ, we have the starting tree, got the ending tree. We're situated between those two points. May you go home this week really exploring what it might mean to be in Christ and Christ in you. We got to situate ourselves. We got to look back. We got to look forward. That's all I got. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. Those of us who call and claim you as our Savior, those of us who follow you, those of us who are in you and you are in us, help us to hear your voice today. Help us to respond in a way that glorifies you. God, I pray that when we are seeking direction in our life, that ultimately we acknowledge that you are our end. You're our beginning. You are everything. And so what are we here for? God, help us know that we are here for you. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.